Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 3, where we see a declaration about faith, spanning only 14 words, and yet is one of the most important and profound declarations for us to hold on to today. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 11, verse 1.
Israel's been on stand for thousands of years. So as I take you through the Word of God week in and week out, and what a privilege it is, I want to say to you as the premises of my encouragement to you to have faith in God is He's been faithful to you. Secondarily, this morning, I want to bring this to you as a point, I suppose, to encourage you in the faith. I want to bring this up to you. We talk about our Father's faithfulness. I want to talk to you about our foundation. Our foundation. Verse 3 was sort of an anomaly to me. I was wondering, why is this here? I don't understand all the way up till this morning. I couldn't understand why the writer took us back to the beginning. But I suppose it's to lay our foundation for us as a boost for our faith for the future. He says, through faith we understand, it's perceive. And in the classical Greek, never once is that word perceive used of physical sight. This is a word that means we perceive with spiritual eyes. Okay? You got to be born again to perceive what he's calling you to perceive. If you hear today say, I can't see what he saw, you need to get born again. Born again in the spirit, we perceive with spiritual eyes that the world, the aeon, classical Greek is, it's including both the physical worlds, the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, but it's also speaking about the ages in between as seasons of times. It's talking about both. In just normal Greek, they're separate. You got cosmos, the physical ages, mankind, and then aeon, A-I-O-N, speaks of like all of the other stuff. But here, there's a collaboration in the language. He says this to us in verse 3, through faith, we perceive that the world, everything, both the physical, the spiritual, the human part to it, everything was framed, outfitted by the word. By the word of God. Listen, Hebrews this, light be, light was. Genesis 1, light be, light was. At what? At the physical, verbal voice of God Almighty. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. All things that were made by him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. And how did he do it? He spoke. He spoke things into existence out of nothingness. Quantum physics doesn't even allow that. Your mind should be exploding right now. The writer says you should have a faith in a God whose creative ability makes things, bara, makes things out of nothing. You've never heard of that before. There's nobody walking the earth that can do that. No contractor, no carpenter can make something out of nothing. We don't understand this concept of nothingness. God does. He outfitted the world by his word. So the things that which are seen, he says, the heavens, the planets, the stars, the trees, the ground, the heavens and the earth, the things that are seen were made by those things that were not even in existence. They never even appeared. Light be, light was. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let there be light. There's light. There was light before there was a light bearer, by the way. Light before a light bearer. Before there was a sun, before there was a moon, before there were the reflectors of those things, there was light before the... In Revelation, it says, he maketh light. How many of you believe Genesis chapter 1? Just raise your hand. Don't do it because the crowd's doing it. Don't be a follower. Tell the truth. You believe it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and no cooperation from anything. No collaboration or cooperation with evolution. There's no Big Bang. The Big Bang's coming at the end. The scientists have it all twisted. That's coming at the end. There was no Big Bang in the beginning. It was light be, light was. It was He spoke it into existence. If you just raised your hand and you said that you believe that, then everything else comparatively that the rest of this book speaks to you of concerning your need for faith should be relatively easy. You got a faithful Father, number one. That to me trumps everything. Number two, the foundation that we have in our faith that we're called to is outrageously amazing. He spoke things into existence. From eternity past, where was He? Outside of, there was nothing. We say, oh, you're empty-headed. You're a bonehead. You're this, you're that. We use it as an insult. We don't even know what we're saying. We don't understand nothingness. God does. Out of nothingness, He spoke things. The power of His word. In six literal days, He created everything. That is a great reason for you to, in the future, have your faith and trust in the King. And that's where we close this morning. Our future is great reason for need to have faith. We build on the premises of our Father's faithfulness and His foundation that He's laid. But now it's for our future that we need faith. I need faith for the future, moving on. And that's where this definition becomes beneficial in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance. Listen to me, please. The word substance here is where we get two words in the English, sub and stance, which means below and standing. Substance, below standing. It's substructure. It's speaking of something that bears another thing up. And in the context of the text, it's speaking about the hope that He calls us to. So that we don't have a I hope so hope, but I have a no so hope because of the substructure that my hope is built upon. See, this is totally sensible and logical, isn't it? This is not hocus pocus, nonsense, full of baloney here. This is the word of God speaking to you this morning and saying this. I want you to have faith in the living God. He's been a faithful Father. He's given you an amazing foundation to build on. But listen, your future, you can have as a guarantee to you of what's coming your way, of what the Lord has in store for those who love Him because of the substructure of faith that He has laid for you to put your hope upon. It's substantial. It's substantial, and it is able to bear you up in the days of your greatest adversity, in the midst of your greatest pain and trials and question marks that flow your way. Why should I believe in God? Why should I continue on? Man, it's getting hard. People are ridiculing me. People are prosecuting me and coming against me and persecuting me and hurting me and forsaking me. Why should I continue on? Right, that's what these guys would have said. And he would say this, because of the substructure of faith that God has laid for you to build your hope on. And without faith, you have all things spiritual. But without that faith, you have nothing. It's like the spiritual key. It opens doors of blessings. Things like resurrection. Y'all have to have faith to believe that He's going to gather your bones. You're going to get up once again. Right? I mean, isn't that the hope of our Christian experience, resurrection? Wouldn't you agree with me if I said to you that without resurrection, there is no good news? For me, at least, I mean, I'm not doing this if there's no resurrection. I'm not doing this if there's no resurrection. I was just in the empty tomb of Jesus Christ a few days ago. I went there a couple of times. It's empty. He's not there. He's resurrected. And if He's resurrected, we too will rise again in glory. You believe that? You believe that by faith, though. What a gift resurrection is, but you believe that and you receive that by faith. How about glorification? There's a day coming when you will stand in glory, full of glory, where you will be like Him. Heaven is not just a destination or a place, it's an image. and we will be made in his Jesus image. We will be perfected. We will be completed. There's a day coming for those who believe in Jesus, who follow him and walk with him till the end, where there will be no more battle with sin. The sanctification process will be over, and you will be glorified. There will be no more lust. There will be no more anger. There will be no more bitterness. There will be no more pride. There will be no more arrogance. There will be no more those things that vex us right now. How do I know that? By faith. There's a day coming if Jesus tarries and he allows me to live and he allows you to live to experience this where a trump will sound and the voice of the archangel and the dead in Christ will arise first and we who are alive will be harpazo, snatched away, caught up in less than the twinkling of an eye and we will meet him in the air and all those who have run the race before us and we will forever be with him. How do we receive that? By faith. How did Noah receive his rescue? By faith. He too had to anticipate a day coming of something that never had happened before. Noah, build a boat. Okay, why? Because rain's coming. Well, what's rain? Drops of water are going to fall from the sky and they're going to come up from the ground simultaneously and the whole world that I've created is going to be washed away and only those who get in the boat to protect them from the water are going to be saved. Huh? Never saw rain before. So he just, by faith, wasn't perfect, was he? You read about Noah, right? You know what happens with Noah? Well, I'll teach you it in a few weeks here. He's not perfect, but he had faith. He believed God and he started to build a boat. You say, that's great. Probably didn't take him too long. Oh, it took him very long. How long did it take? A day? Nope. A week? Nope. A month? Nope. Few months? Nope. Year? Nope. Decade? Nope. 100 years. Building a boat to be preserved in, saved by, for something he's never seen. And he was ridiculed. He was mocked. You've lost your mind. You're loco. You're crazy. How could you build? What do you think's going to happen here? Look at you throwing beer cans at him. And he became a preacher of righteousness that became vexed, the scriptures say. Because he was preparing and he was building for a great chunk of his life, something that had never yet happened. But I'll tell you something. That first raindrop that fell, the sky opening, and if there were thunder and lightning that began to take place, there must have been something in Noah's heart where he was so overwhelmed by God's grace revealing this truth to him. As he gathered his wife and his 3 sons and daughter-in-laws into that boat, that's it, besides the animals, and was saved as he's watching all of the ridiculers be washed away. There's a day coming, the Bible says. You have no reason not to believe it. A third of the book is predictive, and everything that's set up to this point has come to pass. There's a day coming, says the Lord of hosts, where he will call us home. There's a day coming, says the Jesus who rose from the grave, where his kingdom will come. Not just take us from this earth, but he will come again with those in glory. And he will touch down on the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives will indeed split. He will come from the east. He will land and the mountain will split north to south. Interesting enough, just there the other day, there's a fault line they recently found under a hotel at the top of the Mount of Olives. Everything's ready. And he will ride in as the king of Salem, as the king of Jerusalem, and he will establish his kingdom for 1,000 years. And we will be with him for that. You have all of that plus a million other things if you take your faith and apply it. But without your faith, you've got none of that. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. You know what the church needs right now? Bible teachers. You know what the church doesn't need right now? Entertainers. Church doesn't need right now funny stories. Church doesn't need right now you getting your ears tickled. Church doesn't need right now a false security. Church doesn't need right now entertainment. Church needs right now the Word of God going forth line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, every single word that has been written by God needs to go forth because it boosts your faith. It boosts your faith. You're in the hearing of God's word, and if you're in the reading of God's word, these things, like a river inside of you, just like a living spring, they flow up, they arise, and they stir you. But apart from that, you get dull. Apart from that, you become indifferent. Apart from that, you become a skeptic. Apart from that, you lose out on all of the blessedness that you need for your future. That's your substructure for you to have hope in the living God. Not faith in faith. Not you got to have more faith. It's because you didn't have faith or prosperity. None of that. Faith in the Lord. Now, faith is, it's the substructure. It's what stands under the things that we hope for. And it is the conviction. English translation in King James is evidence. It's weak. It's conviction. It is the conviction of things not yet seen. Where does that conviction come from? Another world. It's otherworldly. The conviction is not going to come from Fox News. The conviction is not going to come from CNN. The conviction is not going to come from well-intended or not reporters. The conviction is not going to come from social media. The conviction is going to come from the living God. A conviction. This is the future. These are the things that God has for you and all those who love his appearing. Listen, the elders before you, they obtained a good report, passive. They did nothing to earn it. They received it because God chose to place it upon them because they simply believed his word. Our faithful Father, our foundation, our future, all motivations for biblical faith. Amen. I want to do this as the team comes to lead us in a closing song. I want to share with you just a few things that really renowned followers of Christ have said of this topic, faith. My favorite being what Martin Lloyd-Jones said. He said, quote, "Faith is the refusal to panic," close quote. I really like that one because a lot of the things that I found that were spoken on the topic of faith, I feel like the onus was too much placed on the Christian. I felt like it was this thing where it's like, I got to do this and I got to do that to have faith. And I felt like the burden was too great. I like what Daniel prayed during worship in the beginning. And I sort of echoed it in my opening prayer. And I'll say it again. Faith is a gift from God. It's imparted to the bride of Christ from the Lord. Yes, from hearing and receiving God's word. But it's also a supernatural gift. And I think that we have every right as the children of God to come to him and say, Lord, would you impart to me faith? So that my substructure is strengthened, so that it's a more sturdy place for my hope to rest upon. You see what I'm saying? Like, I can't just be, listen to me. In the midst of pain and adversity, in the midst of uncertainty and difficulty, I need more than emotion. I need more than just hype. I need more than just what I get from these guys when they rock it out here. I need more than that. That's not going to work in the hospital room. It's not going to work at the divorce attorney's office. It's not going to work when the phone rings and my kid's on crack on the streets and they just had a narc in him and bring him back to life. It's not going to work in those moments. I'm going to need a greater, stronger substructure. You understand what I'm saying to you right now? I'm going to need something a little bit more weighty. Listen, if I went up there and got all surfacey and flighty and light to these people that the writer here is speaking to, when I talk to them about faith, they would dismiss me. These people are being ostracized by their family. They're being excommunicated from the temple. They need something a little bit more than just the emotional appeal in order for them to carry on. The Holy Spirit is giving it to those who feel that way today. He's saying this to you. This is something that is certain and sure and tried. It is your platform. It stands underneath your hope. You don't got to work it up. You don't got to make believe believe. How about that? You don't got to believe make believe, and you don't got to make believe believe. It's for real. It's the truth. It's strong and it's solid. It's dependable. It's faithful. It's genuine. It's unique in its nature. God has birthed it. God has created it. God will establish it. And it's that substructure that allows me to say, I'm not going to panic. Oswald Chambers said this, and I'll close with it. He said, quote, faith is the deliberate confidence in God and in the character of God, whose ways you might not understand at that time, close quote. My favorite part about all of that, I'll read it to you one more time. Faith is the deliberate confidence in God and the character of God, whose ways you might not understand at that time, close quote. I like the word, the adjective deliberate there, because I got to be deliberate at times about what I'm going to choose to believe and what I'm going to choose to sort of take the prominence in my eye gate, in my view of what I'm going to stare at, what I'm going to dwell upon. I got to be deliberate at times with my substructure, with my faith, with my foundation. I got to be deliberate that I'm going to focus on that and not what's going on all around me. I got to be deliberate. You got to be deliberate. We got to be deliberate because we go through seasons. Remember he said there's a call to endurance here. This is the hall of endurance. We go through some stuff, man. When the sea is calm, it's one thing. When the sun is shining and the palm trees are swaying and the sky is blue, it's one thing. We might not need too much at that time. But when the waves are crashing and the wind is blowing and the sky is darkening, that's a vastly different story. And I got to be deliberate with my focus on my substructure that's been laid by my Savior. So I could take my hope and I could place it there. And it anchors my soul. It anchors my soul. And I'm so thankful this morning that my high priest, I can call out to at any moment and say, Jesus, if anybody knew about endurance, it's you. I need you to strengthen me to carry on for just another day. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. We love you. We bless your name. And it's in Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory, all God's people said, amen. Let's stand, worship the Lord. God bless you guys.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.